Now, we have been speaking about the Christ, the final truth. We began that a few weeks ago, and we are going to continue that. Let's just read the portion of the scriptures to start it today. The book of Ephesians is where we'll start from today. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm trying to find which verse we should start from, so we will not have to read too many. Let's just start from verse 2. It's from verse 1. It said, "And you were dead in your trespasses," Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived." Now, I'm just jumping because it's a safe time. Verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his love, of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved," that's in brackets, all right, "and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing greatness of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Now, please notice that his grace in kindness is shown toward us in Christ Jesus. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Now, please notice verse 8 is the main one I want to read. It said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves." It said, "And that's not of yourselves." He said, "It is a gift of God." Remember last time I said that I was speaking on the gift of God. I want to pick up from there today. And my message today is titled, "Receiving the Gift of God." All right? It's not every time I have a title, so when you hear it, you rejoice. All right? The Lord is good. All right. So, he said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship," that is, we are his handiwork, "were created in Christ Jesus for a purpose." And that purpose, he said, is for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. Now notice verse 11. "Therefore remember that formerly," everybody say formerly.
Formerly.
Now, it's formal. "Formerly, you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision." That word "so-called" is to show you that he doesn't believe it. Paul didn't accept it. All right? He said this circumcision is performed in the flesh by human hands. He said, "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise." Now, please, let's repeat that word again. Formally.
Formally.
Yeah, repeat it again. Formally.
Formally.
There's a reason why I'm emphasizing it. So he said, "Formally, you were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and formally, you were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," please again, let's say, "but now." See two words there, or two phrases. Initially we said formerly, but now we are saying but now. He said, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups," that is the so-called circumcision and the uncircumcision, "he made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." How did he do it? "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through his cross, by it having put to death the enmity." Now, there's a reason why I kept on emphasizing the issue of formerly, and then we now saw, but now. Now, what we have been talking about, I'll come to the reason in a moment, but what we have been talking about for some time is this issue of Christ. That's the title, the final truth. I want to just explain again, just for a minute, why we are doing this. The reason is simple. I see Christians every day laboring to please God. They do things to try and come into God's favor. All right? That's what I observe. You see, Christians, the way they walk, they put in a lot of energy as if, let us do this so that God will be happy with us. These are the things we will do, and then we will now find that God will have a reason to pour his grace, his blessing upon us. All right? Now, know what Paul said here? He said, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that didn't have, that is, your salvation, you didn't have to do anything about it. All right? Now, Christians these days, they don't understand it. They think that, and this is the way it explains, it manifests itself most often. Christians say, before I prosper, what I need to do is to give. And when I give enough, a day will come that God will be satisfied with my giving, and then he will pour prosperity upon me. They said, all right, how do I prosper? How do I get deliverance? I will pray. And then one day I will have prayed enough, and then God will be happy, and I will grant the deliverance that I'm seeking. Or what do we do? Let us fast. We will fast and fast until we will have fasted enough so as to make God happy with us. And so we start counting fasting in days. How many days have you done? We start counting hours of prayer. How many hours have you prayed? What is the purpose? The purpose is to see whether I have filled up the basket so that God will say, now this thing is full. Now, we have enough of scriptures to support some of the things that we are saying that are not correct. That say when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. Now, these are correct principles, but they are wrongly applied. Are you getting my point? I gave an example, which is, this is just a very good illustration. One day I was in my home, and my little boy, Victory, he was packing money. And when he was packing the money, I was looking at it. All right? 5 naira, 10 naira, you know, just arranging his money. Money he got from different ways. I don't know which work he did. All right? And then one day, he was looking at the money, and he said, look, this money is plenty. He must have, it was a lot. Maybe it was some very close to like 100 naira or so. A lot of money. Now, you can say that when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. When Victor will have gathered enough money, he will get a new shirt. All right? The principle sounds reasonable, right? When Victor will have gathered enough money, he will be able to go to the kind of school that he likes. When Victor will have gathered enough money, he will get a very good bicycle. All right? That's if he did not know Victory. If he did not know his father. You are getting what I'm explaining. If he did not know his family, you could be thinking like that. All right? I was observing him that day, and this revelation just came to my heart again, more like understanding. I just said, gosh, this is what Christians do. This is what we do. We try and pile up our good works, hoping that one day it will pay our school fees. Are you getting my point? We pile up our good works, hoping that one day it will bring forth prosperity. We pile up our good works so that one day to give us promotion in life. And God, the Father, is sitting down and watching. That day I was watching my son. I said, if you like, gather this 5 naira, 10 naira. If you and your, I was thinking to myself, if you and your siblings go to one trip to ShopRite, that's 1 year's labor for you. That is, what am I saying, 1 year's labor. It is more than 1 year's labor of gathering this your money. Oh, for those who don't know Victory, he's 6 years old. All right? He doesn't work. Somebody dashes him money, you know, little things. Just monies, you can't even explain how they come, but they are usually in pieces, 5 naira, 10 naira, 20 naira, and he was gathering it dutifully. Except that it's not going to achieve anything for him. Nothing. Not because money doesn't have value in itself, but what he needs. Do you understand? Like the other day, he came to me yesterday. He said, when am I going to get my own PSP? Because he has two senior brothers, and each one of them has a PSP. So he was gauging it. What is the age, all right, by which I will attain to my own PSP? You understand? They come all the time. How come Akinle has a phone? I would say, he's in secondary school. Okay. So what you are saying is that once I hit GS1, I get a phone. I said yes. So because I know GS1 is still far. So I have peace of mind, you know, for some time. Now I'm bringing an issue here. You see that even though money has value, all right? Even though if he could gather enough, he'll be able to do those things. But the scenario, the setting makes all his works of no effect. Are you getting my point? Because all the things he's asking for, I have paid for them. Let me put it like that. All right? So gathering, what he needs to do is just to come up to me and explain that he needs this thing. And if I'm persuaded that he needs it, I give it to him. Not because he deserves. Now, please get my point. Not because he has done anything to deserve it. The thing that made him qualify to get it was that one day they said to my wife, it's a boy. Are you getting my point? Did you catch what I mean there? Yeah, that is my son. My wife gave birth to a son, and the boy bears my name. For that reason, he is qualified to receive everything I can afford, not what he can work for. You are getting the point I'm making? And that's one thing Christians don't seem to understand these days, and I want to emphasize it again in this series of teachings. Like, I may sound like a broken down record that you have said it again and again, but I don't think people have heard it enough. And I like what Kenegan said, where there is no repetition, the people are not established. Peter said, I know you know these things, but I will not neglect to remind you of them. It's very important you understand it, that we say Christ the final truth. People have labored and have labored. People like Buddha, I give examples. I give stories of the Hindus. They struggle to attain to spirituality. But we say Jesus is the gift of God. He came down to pull us up to spirituality. That's the point. That's the point. Everything we have, people aspire to in life. Now listen to me. Every single thing that people aspire to in life, it has been done for us in Christ Jesus. I'm going to repeat something again today, all right? But I was reading the book of Colossians, all right, the one that we have been reading again and again. And I decided to summarize a number of things. Things that we have, or things that have been done for us in Christ Jesus. I will not explain them. I'll just summarize. I'm going to a particular point. For example, you'll find these things there. Don't just bother. You can find it there in verses, in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. All right, just pick out some words. He said that we have been made complete in Christ Jesus. That we are not trying to be complete, we have been made complete in Him. He said, in Him we have been circumcised. He said, we have been buried in baptism. And He said also, that's number 4, we've been raised up with Him from the dead. He said, we have been made alive together with Him. Listen to this. He said, He has forgiven us all our transgressions also in Him. And in Him, He has cancelled the certificate of decrees that were written against us. In Him, He disarmed all the devil's cohorts, principalities and powers that are gathered against us. And He said that in Him, we triumph over them all. That's a matter of fact. Now listen to this. Not because of your prayer. I keep on saying these things. Don't ever, ever think that the reason why you have victory over the devil is because you have prayed enough. Don't ever, ever think that the reason why you have victory over the devil is because you live a very holy life. Don't ever, ever think that the reason why you have victory over the devil is because you have fasted enough. The only reason why you have victory over the devil is because Jesus triumphed over them by virtue of His death and His resurrection, which we are celebrating this weekend. Listen, though, there's no second reason. I'd like to see, listen. You know, there was something that Job said. When Job was speaking, he said that, has it ever happened, all right, that I looked up to the sun, was it sun or the moon or stars, and then secretly my heart, you know, like in my heart, I raised my hands up to them, or I blew a kiss towards them. Now, there's a reason why I explained that. That is, I may not do it overtly, but when they were trying to count the things that Job did that were wrong, all right? One of the things he said that even in my heart, I did not secretly blow a kiss towards the sun. That is, as to worship it. That's the point he was trying to make. Why did I bring up that issue? As believers also, we must not secretly, you know, quietly, you know, small, small in our heart, come towards the throne of grace, all right, to pray. To, you know, we now secretly think, we keep that thing in our heart, that I have been doing good, so God, don't forget. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yeah. It is a mistake. In fact, those are the things that came to a head. I had to preach this series again. And I found out when I looked at our catalog again, I found out there's another one we did last year titled The Work of Christ. Okay? Please go and listen to it again. I'm sure many of the things I'm saying now, I said them then. But of course, new light will keep on coming to these things as we keep on talking about them. I just want to emphasize to us again this evening. Please, don't even seek now. You understand how I'm using that word secretly now? I'm picking it from Job. Job said, why nobody is looking? All right? In the same manner, don't secretly, you know, just something inside your heart, secretly trusting in what you have done when you come to God, all right, to make requests. I've heard Christians say things that when I hear it, I feel bad. Now, if you don't have understanding, you wonder what's making me feel bad. I've seen somebody before, all right, the child was ill. Let me give an example. Maybe the child had an eye problem, all right? So the person came to our hospital, and I was looking at, you know, I got involved a bit, was saying that, God cannot let my child's eye go blind. Now listen to this. Me, that last week, we're still contributing money to save somebody else's child's eyes. Once you say that, my heart bleeds. You are exposing yourself to satanic attack. You come and say that, God will not let this happen to me. I told you once, okay? There was a man I met. Two of his sons died in one day. All right? One day. In fact, three boys died that day. They were playing rough play, locked themselves in their father's, the boot of their father's car, and all three suffocated to death. And the whole street was looking for them. It was the next day when somebody wanted to wash the car. They had still not found the boys. But they opened the boot of the car, and they were all there, dead. So we had to examine the body to just be sure of what happened. So the father was with me, and he was weak, and he broke down into tears at the time. And he made a statement. I said, this is the problem with Christians. He said, I that am paying school fees for other people's children. How can this happen? You know, and that's why we do good work sometimes. It's unconscious in our minds. It's what we are using to deserve good from the hands of God. I have been commissioned by God. Like Kaman would say, I've been deputized to come and tell you that what you are doing, what you think and behave like that, is called iniquity. Iniquity in Christianity is funny. It's not what we think it is. I said last time that Jesus is the gift of God. All right? That sin is not what people think it is. Sin is that God gave you a gift and you rejected it. In fact, two things I did not say. All right? I'll build up to it. I'll say it in a moment. When we're studying that book of Colossians, you'll notice there were two things that Paul warned people against. All right? Number one, he warned people against having this attitude of working towards achieving a position of deserving good from the hands of God. He warned against it. In fact, in my notes, I said, beware. One, beware of engaging in personal attempts at attaining what God has already done for you in Christ. Listen, you may say that, well, Pastor Banky, some people preach like this. Listen, how do I say it? I just have to preach what I'm supposed to preach because it's the truth. Let me just be like that. And Christian life has levels. Sometimes, all right, you remember the story of Apollos. Apollos came expressing, the Bible says, accurately the things of Christ, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. That was the problem. You can only express accuracy to the level of your own intimacy. Are you getting my point? It's what you are intimate with that you can explain, you know, accurately up to that level. But he was speaking to Priscilla and Aquila, and they called him aside, and this man was moving everybody with his explanation of the gospels, of the prophets, trying to preach about Christ. But Aquila and Priscilla looked at it, and he would say something. They said, that's good, oh boy. No, you didn't. After, at the end, they called him and said, can we see you? Priscilla and Aquila have been, you know, they have been deputized. They have been trained, discipled by Paul. So when Apollos arrived and they heard what he was saying, they knew this man was not well acquainted with many things. So they sat him down and said, what is going on? You only know about the baptism of John. You never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that only the Son of God can give. Come, let's tell you some things. The Bible said, I expounded these things to him more accurately. I'm not here to fight the doctrines you have heard before. I'm trying to take you from one level to another level, which is actually the superior level of Christ Jesus. I explained to you before, life has different spheres. It has different realms. You see, you have to choose the realm you are walking in. And I said something a few weeks ago. Once God exposes you to a new realm, walking below it means you are walking in sin every day. Listen, I will say this to shock some people. There are those who listen to me that the reason why they don't prosper anymore is because they are still tithing. Yes, I did that deliberately. Just to shock life out, you know, shock it, shock common sense into you. Because you see, you have heard this thing. You still think that if you don't tithe, you won't prosper. Come and see the prosperity. Let's see it now. It is not because, listen, before you met me, you know, some of you made a mistake the day you entered here. The day you walked in here, your own don't jam. That is, it would have been better if you stood outside. It is not because God has a problem. Now, please, you must understand. It is not because, it's not the money. It is that God said, you don't get what this, you heard this thing, but you are playing safe. That's one problem I have with my mother. You understand? I enter the house, I see a shrine. My mother is a Catholic. I have no problem with being a Catholic. Do you understand? I have no problem with it at all. I'm not one of those Pentecostals that say, if you go in a Catholic church, you are dead meat. I was a preacher when I went to wed. And where was my wedding? St. Paul's Catholic Church. I carried my body. Some people say, I said, that's your problem. Me, I came to collect wife. What is it? You know, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord everywhere. Kneel down, get up. He said, I don't know. What is it? Do you take this girl to be your lawful wedded wife, to love and to... you know the funny thing? The vows they take there is more godly and more holy than all these Pentecostal jokes that we crack all over the place. Come on, the Pentecostal don't know how to take vows. They go to America and learn something. Americans are afraid to tell the truth. They write books for you, come and copy it. They will never tell you till death do us part. Go and check it. They don't say it. From today, we shall be one. After 2 years, we don't like it, we shall be two. When I read some of these Pentecostal vows, I just shake my head. He said, you want to prosper with this kind of vow? You want to prosper with this kind of vow? I hereby submit to you, you shall be my husband. I said, what kind of watered down American Supreme Court vow is this one? They said, no, Pentecostals make me laugh. They said that for richer, for riches, you come to take vow. In fact, the person who marry you, where I blame. You come and tell me, I take to you as my lawful wedded husband, for richer, for richer. I said, yeah, wait. What did you say? I said, for richer, you smoke. I said, the shading priest, sorry, I want for richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. He said, are you prophesying ill health? Not ill health. You know, Paul said that it was because of an affliction of the flesh that we met in the first place. What's the big deal? You can walk so much that you break down. Should your wife leave you at that time? I'm not prophesying ill health. A vow means no matter what the conditions. That's all it means. We're not saying that you will be sick. At least, it just said that we shall never die. Did I say that? Till death do us part. One day, if Jesus doesn't come back, one of us will die first. Even if we drink poison at the same time. Somebody must close eye first. No one can Pentecostal start some of these things. I'll just shake my head. I say, nah, ignorance. Nah, small pickiness. You know what they call small pickiness? They're still small. Unless you want to take vow, take it. Or richer, or poorer. It's not, you are not prophesying ill health. You are not prophesying poverty. You are saying, and you must understand, that's material thing we are discussing. We are saying that even if I'm stripped of every material thing, I won't leave you. That's all we are saying. So we say, well, I want to prophesy that I will always prosper. When we finish the marriage vow, we will not go and prophesy that even though we agree that for richer, for poorer, but why should we do poorer? Let's become richer. But the vow is that peradventure we are tested. After all, a righteous man falls 7 times. Yes. You understand? I enter the house, I see a shrine. My mother is a Catholic. The man who laid the foundation, well, I don't know who laid the foundation anyway, whether it's people when I was in secondary school or this particular man. But there's a man that when we were young, we used to go to his house. All right? One of the most anointed men you ever saw. All right? He's late now, that last year or the year before. Okay? The name is Dr. Lufarati, all right? A veterinary pathologist. This man was on fire. We used to go to his house regularly, used to teach us the word of God. When the crowd outgrew his sitting room, he had to move them to his own church. The people were never members of his church. It's just that was a venue. It was just a venue. He chose a day that the church was not using. The church wouldn't use the venue. So, and so we were going there for a long time. Do you understand? Now, this man taught the truth. I saw him pray. My younger sister was sick unto death. You pray her out of the deathbed. I'm telling you. And this man, I've told the story before. A man who a man told, this is no good, better for you. What can shake him around? He said, me, I'm a man of God. I return the curses to you. That guy collapsed and died. On the spot, not tomorrow. He warned the fellow, say, I'm a man of God. You don't talk nonsense. He said, yeah, there's an anointing upon my head that is sacred. Don't defile it. I want to say the joke. He said, okay, take your curses back. The man just went down, boom, instantly and died. They went to gather village people to come and be, because he was on the road. Please, sir, sorry, sir. So after they beg, he went to the body, rebuked death in the name of Jesus, commanded the man to come back to life. The man woke up, entered his car and drove away. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. Not my preacher. Not a man raising money because he wants to build a church. That's not what I'm talking about. Talking about power. This man educated us for years. He laid the foundation for this thing that I'm doing today. And then from there, went to university and began to study the word of faith. And we're all doing this. Then I'll get back to my house. To my shock, my mother will mount a shrine to a Marian shrine in the corner of the house. I kicked the thing down. I kicked the thing down. I said, Mommy, will you stop this nonsense? He said, I said, Mommy, when I've left this house, Me and your Virgin Mary cannot occupy the same corner. Do you get the point? When I have left, she can return. I said, Mom, you know what your problem is? Say what? You are playing safe. You want to put one leg here? Listen, you can go to any church. You like. You know, I go, you've seen me, I'm what you call a Pentecostal. But you know, most of the things I do, Pentecostals don't do. Pentecostals do first fruit, I think it's the first joke. This modern, they decided to do redemption of the firstborn. I said, look, pastor, if you need money, talk. Forget all this rubbish of redeeming the firstborn. After Jesus Christ has died, which nonsense firstborn are you redeeming? Jesus died. You are still carrying your children to go and redeem firstborn. You smoke something. So you can go to any church you like. That's not my problem. But I don't swallow everything just because somebody says it's church doctrine. Church cannot remove my head and my spirit. Not when I go, Jesus said, church doctrine. I said, listen, church doctrine. Okay, relax. I've been preaching the gospel, not just learning it before you come born again. So relax. If you want to talk, talk. Let's reason man to man. Don't come and harass me with hierarchical doctrine, something handed down. Listen, there's a reason I'm explaining all of these things, all right? Because the problem with people is that they like to play safe. They like to play safe. And God said, if I lift you up to a particular level of truth, your prate below that is called Ichabod. The glory has departed. And anytime glory departs, go and see what happened when the anointing of God left the life of Saul. You don't want to hear what happened to Saul. An evil spirit came and replaced it. You don't try nonsense. God cannot, he cannot release truth to you. And because of the fear of people, if you don't understand it, it is different. No, it is different. When you have not, you have not been enlightened, it's a different matter. That is why everywhere I go these days, when Pentecostal law of a lot of things that they do, I laugh. I laugh. I laugh. I tell my wife, I can't do this. I don't want to get punished by God. I can't do this. No, we take everything Old Testament, you know, color it. Christians that gather, you have to redeem your firstborn. I will be looking at them and say, you guys are funny. With what? With cash. Where did you read ever in the Bible that redemption of firstborn was done with money? But you know, Christians are funny. Pastors, we need money. You know, running ministry is expensive. We use all kinds of tricks to get it out of it. You don't want to give. We'll make you give. We'll collect your tithe. Not rebellion again. We turn it to first fruit. Not rebellion of firstborn. Don't worry. Just watch it. By next December, there will be what they call it, late harvest. Just watch it. I'm not a business, but it's us. Are you getting my point? It's us. We'll not be pointed that the Catholics worship Mary. We worship money. I don't know which one is worse. Us worship something apart from God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, I don't know why I'm feeling happy. Okay, yeah, I know I'm feeling happy. Some people vex for me right now. Vex for me right now. Hear you the word of the Lord. You will leave here today, you'll be angry, you won't come back for 1 year. At the end of 1 year, you'll be back begging me to teach you some more. It always happens. I'm used to it. Because what I'm saying is truth and is liberating. Go back home, go and redeem your firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. Redeem all of them for safety's sake. You know, you can be sure the one God really wants. Redeem them. Tight on their head, prophesy, sow seed, do everything. When your problems and poverty have consolidated after 18 months, you'll be back. Yeah, I am not kidding. I am not kidding. You'll be back and you say, sir, what did you say that time? I said to you, in Christ Jesus, you have been made totally free. Every time you make an attempt to get God to do what he has done for you in Christ Jesus already, as a reward for the work that you have done, you are working with the devil. You are no longer working with God. Yes. As about what they are saying is hard. If we don't say it, how will you ever hear it? Is it not the truth we are telling? Let me ask you, what do I stand to personally gain from all these things I say? If you are talking money, I should be the one losing. I'm also a pastor now. Don't I want money? You think running ministry is free? So why do I keep saying it? I will tell you, because it is the truth. And it has to be told. Freedom in Christ is free. Only two things Paul said God is asking from you. That's the one that's not that book of Colossians. The first one he said, stop engaging in your own effort to try and please God. Accept that he has forgiven you. Accept it. I told you, one of the problems we have in today's Christianity, a man is a thief. After stealing, he comes back, he begins life to Christ. Some people church even talk, they teach, there's one funny doctrine or institution that's going around now. Some of you go to churches that your life is in intense confusion because of restitution. That they are head stories. Anyway, I'll get back to that in a moment. Paul said, number one, beware. Yes, you are a thief. So you want to go around and start doing, giving to pay for your days of iniquity. It does not work. Just accept you have been forgiven and walk away. That's the thing. A lot of people say that, you know, that the craziest of the jokes, well, not the craziest, there are worse jokes than this. The most popular of them is musicians. After singing in nightclubs, singing bad music, singing all this sexually immoral, you know, all this perverse music all over the place, a musician gives life to Christ. Then comes to church, and unconsciously in his mind, because of wrong doctrine, they don't teach him, he starts singing praise worship. You know why he's doing it? Because he wants God to, you know, let's, you know, how many years did we spend singing for the devil? 15 years. Then he wants to spend 18 years singing for God, thereby wiping away the sins of 15 years of singing for the devil. The moment he starts, God attacks him and starts fighting him. Everything he does, he doesn't prosper again. Why? Because he has refused to accept forgiveness. God said, all right, are you going to continue singing useless songs? No, sir. Have you given your life to Christ? Yes, sir. From now on, you will live for Christ? Yes. Now, go back home and I have forgiven you. Period. Every step you take as per paying back for the sins is a new sin. It's a new sin. A lot of people are there in church walking. You know what? They are trying to. There was a time I was walking in a shrine. Let me now walk in church so as to counterbalance the shrine walk. Every day you spend walking, you are adding iniquity to iniquity. The first iniquity has been forgiven, so God is not counting it. But now that you are working for him, you have begun to sin. A lot of people in churches today, they are sinners. Father God, I'm speaking the truth, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel. A lot of people that call themselves pastors now, they will die suddenly. Not for any other reasons, because God will get tired of their sins of being a pastor. Yet they don't realize it. They think they are doing something very holy and righteous. Many people have gone to jungles to go and preach. A snake will bite them there and they will die. Not because the gospel is not true, but because they did not come to the jungle to preach in obedience to the gospel. They've come to the jungle to preach so as to pay for their sins when they were in Nazareth. Are you getting my point? Yes. They want to go and do, you know, they are there in the jungle preaching. Say, God, we are preaching. And when they want to preach, there was a time I was a sinner. All they are saying is that now I'm paying up. I am paying up. Don't worry, after 20 years of suffering with you guys, I will have finished settling God. And God will wait one day, two will fall, break his leg. God is trying to drive him away from the jungle to go back to the city. He don't go here. After a long time, God just said, Mamba, you know there's a black Mamba, bite him. He said, but I thought you said that no evil shall befall them. That. He said, no, this one is not evil, it's good. Bite him. Will I be able to hurt him? No. I'll just be able to kill him when you bite him. Now, he's such a dedicated man. Why did God allow him to die with the snake, with the mamba bite? Because it's not like mamba has power over my children. But this one, I have gotten tired of him. Let me take him home. He's not going to hell. You are not going to go to hell. Let me tell you, if you like, cross the road, beat him up, he shoots you. You will still go to heaven. One angel will, if I want you to arrive, slap you on top. You can't come so early. See, you go and stay there. What am I going to explain? See, listen. Many people, What's happening to them is that they are beginning to do things for God, trying to pay him up for what he has already forgiven them of. And that becomes a new set of sins. Every day he gives money is recorded against him. Every day he goes out to preach, it is recorded against him. Not because preaching is bad. You must understand what I'm saying in context. It is because he's not doing this as good works he was created for. He's doing these things as what we do so as to make sure that God is not angry with us. And God said, the only reason I am not angry with you is because you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God gives you a gift, you receive it by faith and you thank him for it, it is done. That's it. People want to start undoing the evil they did before as a way of paying God back. And God says, you can't pay. You can't pay. Who gave you the money to pay? Listen, when it comes to a human soul, as an example, you could have done things deliberately or accidentally that led to the death of a human being. The redemption of a soul is costly. Paying back, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. So if you decide that, okay, for all these things, when Boko Haram, we joined those who bombed a bus and killed 90 people. You know that's very wicked. You know that? So you now give your life to Christ. You now go to all bus stations to be preaching. And all you are thinking of, the picture in your mind is a bomb blast. That you were the one that designed the bomb. You were the one that placed in the car. That your two friends who are suicide bombers drove to the station. And it blew up, killed them, killed 90 other people. And then Jesus touched your heart. And of course, you should feel bad for such things. It should. And then you now make the mistake when you want to pray. You remember, what you don't realize, it is called the accuser of the brethren. He's the one accusing you. Are you getting my point? And that's okay, what do we do? They overcome him, alright? This is how they do, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is what wipes away their sins. They are not supposed to try and wipe away the sins themselves. They are supposed to claim that the blood of Jesus has done it, and they rebuke those pictures. Are you getting my point? But people don't know. They're not going from bus station to bus station. They saw the ascendant, he shall die. I'm warning you. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Give your life to Christ now. So who's giving life to Christ? Five people put up their hand. He counts it. How many people died in that bomb blast? 90. Okay. Five don't save. Praise God. And he's going around preaching and preaching. And those who do not know what is driving him, I said, that brother loves the gospel. No! He has refused to accept forgiveness. That's all. And you think he loves the gospel. He doesn't love gospel, jack. There are people who are giving and giving and giving, giving, giving. Help the poor, help the orphan, help the widow, help the society. Give it to the gospel, man of God, everything. What is pushing? One cobble of that offering, God doesn't collect. One cobble, one molten penny like this, God does not accept. Why? He said, you know what is pushing him? He was a bank MD stealing money. and he's giving recklessly. And the guy is giving and God is not collecting. Oh, I bless God for pastors. They will collect. I'm sure many people have given money to Kingdom World that God didn't collect, but we collected. How will we know now? We did not know. You just drop in the offering basket. You put inside the bank. How are we going to know what's pursuing you? We just know that we saw money. And we worship the Lord for it. All things work together for our good. Sometimes your bad doctrine... It works for the promotion of the gospel. It is sanctified by our own faith. Once we do not know. If you come and tell me what it is, I will tell you, go away. A lot of people do it. And I came today to preach a gospel to you, to let you know that that is a new form of iniquity. It's a new form of sin. You give money because you are feeling guilty. You're a sinner still. That money is an offense. It's an offense, literal offense. You know, offerings have an odor. They have a smell. They have their own fragrance. They have something they emit. An offering that is done out of, you know, the heart of love, appreciation for God's goodness, all right, respect for the gospel, stuff like that, it rises up to him as a sweet smelling, sweet, sweet. It's like incense. It's beautiful. When it gets to heaven, heaven rejoices. But the one that's like, we have sinned, take and forgive us our sins. That one You go see angels, they walk up at say, Michael, what was that? I don't know. Somebody's offering one party. Only Jesus Christ, when they look like this, he's the only one who knows go cough. All the angels are coughing. You know why? He's irritating their throats, their nose is being irritated. Irritation is irritating their throat. It's a bad smelling savour. Bad. The offering is not accepted. God doesn't take it. I said to us last time, I'm saying again today, it is a sin to reject the gift of God. So when he says, I have forgiven you, don't preach to a soul so as to pay me back. Just because you're a bomber with Boko Haram, you now want to start preaching around. There are many people, listen, there are many people that did bad, evil, and God forgave. And God said, don't do anything. She said, you want to be a doctor? Go to medical school and shut your mouth. Shouldn't I testify? He says, not yet. For all my evil, all the bad I did, God said, forget it. Are you God or is me? He said, Ogana, are you? So in that case, I say what? Forget it. I have wiped away every handwriting. Everything that is written against you, I have wiped it away. I have nailed it to the cross of Jesus Christ. If you bring it up before me again, it is a sin. If you say sorry one more time, I will slap you. So what should I do? You wanted to go to school. Go back to school. I will supply funds to you. Go back to school. Read. What do you want to be? Oh, I wanted to be a doctor. Okay, fine. Go to school. I will arrange money. Don't join fellowships so as to come and give any nonsense testimony. If you are going to fellowship, go there to go and learn. You are a baby. You don't know anything. Go and learn. Your sins have not given you the permission to preach. I don't know what I get my point. It hasn't given you permission to preach. Those who I want to preach, we preach. I call Saul to preach. That's why he became Paul, and he was preaching. Not because he was trying to pay me back. There are many people who did worse than him, who I never called to preach, therefore you never heard the story. They went back home, I made them great farmers. They fed people as I led them. They did great works. They raised great children. For me, that period, they never rewrote a gospel. They did more sins than Saul did. You think Saul was the only person persecuting the church? He didn't carry a stone. He only stood there to man the clothes of those who carried the stones. What about those who carried the stones? You think none of them ever gave their lives to Christ? Many did. I didn't make them preachers. I made many of them sailors. Some of the boats that Paul was riding, voyaging in, they were the captains. Many of them joined the Roman army. And you will never hear their story. Because I don't just like to go around brandishing every little thing I do for people. There are those who I call to preach. So I always say to musicians, you give your life to Christ. Are you the first person to be saved? Why are you feeling special? It's pride. You come to church, you can't sit at the back. Someone collect microphone. Praise the Lord. We used to sing those days in the world. Now I want to seek for Christ. As soon as we start singing, anointing will depart. Pastor can't preach again. Suddenly his head will block. He won't know why. You've gone to the pulpit there to go and scatter things. Your nonsense testimony. Your nonsense gift. We don't want to hear it. Go to the back. Go and sit down. Shut your mouth. You don't know how to sing in this place. This is not, what do you call it, city center. It's not Opera Square. This is church. What about testimony we don't want to hear? There are different people that... Some Jesus will say, go home and tell what the Lord has done for you. Others will say, see that you tell no man. Don't be by force. Some, he will finish healing them. I want to follow you. He said, don't follow me. Go back home. Some, he said, come. I have made you fishers of men. Follow me. He did miracles for them. Follow me. Others did miracles for them. He said, go home. There's no law. There's no law that says, once he does for you, you must. See, a lot of people, the gospel, some people don't spoil them. Because they don't know how to just accept forgiveness and sit at home. They must go and preach by force. It is worse when it's the rich man. He can fund his confusion. You know, when you are poor, it's good. When you preach, nobody's blessed. If they won't give offering, have you? You won't be able to preach again. But some people, when they are rich, is a problem. He will fund his own confusion. You see one man sit down there by himself. You know, you want to know whether you are called or not. When you are the one paying for the crusade by yourself, you hire everybody. Hire a musician. Print poster, everything by yourself with your own money. You are not called. You are not called. Don't deceive yourself. You are not called. I said, Pastor, didn't you do that at the time? I'll tell you. At the beginning, I told the Lord, if this happens, I will stop this thing. Yes, I'm serious. So at the beginning, of course, I did what I had to do. Do you understand my point? Okay? But I told the Lord from the beginning, if I have to fund this thing from, you know, my wife go hustle, you know what I'm saying? I'll go hustle. I'll go federal government hustle. You know what I'm saying? I work in the university, all right? And the teaching hospital. And then at the end, I carry all my money. Come here, take a plot program, pay for airtime. I'm willing to do it, all right? That's not the problem. I said, but if I have to continue doing like that, obviously I'm not called. So I prayed to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest field. And I told him simply, Lord, please, it's a sign. That it has to happen so that I know I'm called. Many rich people that God forgive of their sins, that's the problem they have. They are there funding crusades. But then, you know, this is how you know confusion. Those of you here, maybe this doesn't concern you, but it concerns somebody that you know. And maybe you are listening to this somewhere, it concerns you. This is a sign that you are confused though. Yesterday, you were a multi-millionaire, a rich man, a rich woman, whatever you are. You gave your life to Christ 6 months ago. As of today, you are the one preaching the crusade, funding it. You are confused. Nobody called you. Go home. It's MTN and Glo that crossed the line. God wasn't talking to you. I am not joking, no. You go wound, though. I know what I'm telling you. Just 6 months, you don't become crusade manager now. Why? Because you are rich. Listen, I'm not saying a rich man cannot preach the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I said, if you gave your life to Christ just a few months ago, as of today, you have been so anointed. In that anointing, now your money from your businesses is putting you on television. It is putting you on radio. You are using your money to organize the crusade. You are not called. In case you are called, it's not yet now. You are too small for God to say, even you can recruit a soldier 3 weeks ago today. He's in front, he's a general in the army. It's not done. It is not done. Go and see Paul. Paul disappeared for a long time. 2 years he was there. No, whatever you're hearing, he was hidden somewhere. Why am I talking about that? People can't accept forgiveness. That's the problem. They can't accept forgiveness. They are doing all of those things to say, God, yes, we are following you. And God said, yes, I don't want it. I don't want. Don't give offering. I don't even want your money. So I'll go and testify. I don't want your testimony. Just shut up. Every morning when you wake up, lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank you because I have been forgiven. Look at the devil. You know that devil that was your friend that took you to the shrine? That one that you guys used to eat late night sacrifice together in the midst of your confusion in Okija shrine. Look at the devil and don't, oh, I don't know you again. He can't do you anything. Stay in your house. Don't even go to church for a while. Because the church you were going to, think about it now. You went to that church for 18 years. You were one of the pillars of the church while you were a sinner. You gave your life to Christ. Common sense, you tell you to stop going there. They were not helping you. Find another one. No, you should find another one. Think about it. 18 years you were there supporting them with your money. They could not, their preaching could not convict you. Oh boy, once you give your life to Christ, tell the pastor, now I have been born again. All things, including your church, have passed away. All things have become new. Go another church. Go to where nobody knows you. Wear face cap, turn it backward, wear big glasses. Let them think you're a Rastafarian. Sit at the back and hear the gospel. Learn. Nobody wants your work that you are doing to use to pay God back. Every time you work for him like that, you are getting into deeper trouble. You are insulting him. It's like my son coming to meet me. Say, this is my 18 naira that I've gathered. I hope, you know that last 2 years, my school fees, every term, maybe this 18 naira will be able to subsidize all your inconveniences. You get the point? The last 2 years, I just thought about it that you don't try.
this 80 bucks that they should be able to start, you know, all your inconveniences. Just let's see what you can do with it. Because he's a boy and I know his ignorance, I will laugh and rub his back. He said, don't worry, go and buy sweets with that. That's all it is good for. Chewing gum. Orbit is 200 naira, have you? Yes. And you get it, let them divide a pack into two, then divide the half into something else. Collect it. Because that cannot scratch a bit. Not in the least bit, what we are talking about. That is how it is in spiritual things also. God has forgiven you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let me say one more time. God has forgiven you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I need to say one more time. God has forgiven you. Say amen, please.
Amen.
All he's saying is accept it. Accept it. Accept it. Accept it. That's all he said. Accept it. Remember I said somewhere at the beginning that a lot of times people still think that God is going to prosper me one day because I'm giving to him. Please, we believe that gospel for a while. You see, floats around in Christianity. You are hereby exposed to a new level of truth. The reason why God prospers you is because Jesus paid for your prosperity. Please, don't miss next Saturday. Anyway, I'll finish this, I think. My plan is 2 months out of this, I'll finish it. All right? But please, be with me till I finish it. All right? But sometimes it may stretch beyond that. What I'm saying so is that you will see again, we have to discuss again the role of good works. Christians do good works, but it's not the reason why God blesses them. Their good works is a sign of their faith. That's the summary of it. They do those things not to tell, no, listen, it's not just, I'm not doing them to tell God thank you. You know how we tell God thank you? Who wants to know? I'll tell you. We open our mouth and say, thank you. That's a spiritual way. That's deep revelation, isn't it? I want to tell God, thank you. Open your mouth and say, thank you. If opening your mouth is not enough, raise your hands and say, thank you. If that one is not enough for you, bow your head and say, thank you. If that one is not enough for you, jump up and down and say, thank you. Go and buy music and dance and say, thank you. That is all, low. I used to give Thanksgiving offering. I don't do such nonsense anymore. Pastor Banky, you don't decrease. I don't. I've done it before. I've done it. If you listen to my past messages, you hear me refer to some of it. I don't anymore. Thanksgiving offering, I don't know the meaning. How do you say thank you? Open your mouth. What's wrong with you? And say, thank you. I don't anymore. I don't do Thanksgiving offering. Thanksgiving offering for what? If I want to say thank you, what do? I open my mouth and say what? Thank you. When it comes to money is given purely out of love. If you're a preacher and you're around me, I will give you money. Yeah, it's a sign, like I told you, it's a sign of what? Faith. It's not because I'm trying to get anything. If I believe this gospel, listen, if you don't give towards the gospel, you don't believe in it. Let's not deceive ourselves. The way American politics run, candidates get money from those who believe in them. That's the way it is. People give money to those they believe in. That, listen, I will sponsor your candidature. I remember one rich man, wealthy man in Nigeria, in one state in Nigeria, all right, in the South. Once, this was many years ago, this is 1979, he personally, completely bankrolled, you know the way it is, politics. He bankrolled one guy's election as governor, personally. The guy won the primaries, did everything. He won the governorship. At the end, he went to the rich man.
the godfather, you get my point? And says, sir, we have won. Thank you very much. Now, what do you want? You know the way it is, normally. The man looked at it and said, I considered you the best man to govern this state. All I want is for you to be a good governor. Never took a dime from him. He said, I did what I did because I considered that there's nobody better than you to govern this state. So what you are going to do for me is don't disappoint me. I don't want your money. Before you entered politics, God, I'm now adding words to it now. I'm now adding words. God blessed me so much. I have so much money. Now, this is the point I'm making. That's how it is in the gospel. We give the words what we believe in. That's what we do. Once I was somewhere, and they were raising money for a particular project in a particular Christian association. When they finished, you know, this is my wife. She's a very good girl. Look. If there were two of her, I would have to marry the second one. She's very kind-hearted. Kind-hearted. She's a very kind-hearted person. Hey, they move. We say, you pinch me. What's my halfa? Halfa with what? Are we not? No. Why? What they are doing doesn't make sense to you. I said, what these people are doing? Does it make sense to you? I said, I will never use my money to support what I don't believe in. If you like, use all kinds of give me food, put Indian hemp inside. It doesn't work. When you start raising the money, all the Indian hemp at the wipe and come out. I will wake up. What did you say? You will give to what? What are you doing? Just tell me what you are doing. If it makes sense, I'm there. That's how Christians, that's how you give money. Because your money talks. Are you getting my point? It's making a statement about you. It's making a statement about your faith. It's making a statement about what you believe in. There was a time I went to a church and I felt that they needed the word, you know, pumped into them. And that day they had a guest minister. I also was there. And this man preached so powerfully. I walked up to one of the pastors. The guy came from abroad. I told him, look, you guys need this fellow. If you will invite him again, when he lands in town, every money you will spend on him, accommodating him, feeding him and everything, tell me about it. I will pay. They didn't do it. But the point is that I just said to him, I told the guy there, one of the senior pastors, I said, listen, you guys want this guy back. If money is a problem, just know that his accommodation and feeding and logistics while he's around has been written off. All you guys just need to do is make sure that when he arrives, if it's 2 weeks, you drain him, you know. One day I go preach for a week. After the second preaching, I seek. I laid down. I told the guy say, oh, God, they don't drain you. I say, yes. I told my wife, you can hardly get up. I said, when you are preaching, they are sucking every bit. Every bit. By the time they finish, virtue had left me. So I said, listen, all you need to do is drain that guy for me. Drain him. That's what we do with money as believers. We're created, we'll talk about it next time, or maybe one of these subsequent times. We're created for good works. That's even offering. In fact, I don't even think about it anymore. I don't think about it. And I want to tell God, thank you. I wave my hands. Tell him, thank you. I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. I thank you I'm not a Hindu. I thank you once I was a Hindu, now I'm no longer a Hindu. And for those my brethren who are still Hindu Christians, have mercy on them. Half of Pentecostals today are Hindu Christians. They still do the affliction of the flesh so as to attain to spirituality. That is not Christianity, it is Hinduism. They do it. If you believe that God, if you think, listen, I'll say this one to you. You know, see, I like to shock people. So I shock you into thinking. A lot of people have shocked them into disliking me, which is normal. You know, Jesus shocked them into they are crucifying him. So it's okay. This is what I want to use to shock you again, though you have heard it before. If you think that because you fasted for 6 days or 7 days or 8 days, Your prayer is more effective if you're a Hindu Christian. Yeah. You know why? Because you're lying. You're deceived. You like get let hunger drill a hole in your stomach. You are still a Hindu. Once you secretly in your heart think that it makes you more potent in speaking to God, you're confused. You have mixed Hinduism. You are a Hindustan. Have you heard this? The only reason why God hears you is because you're what Christian. He only hears you in Christ. I don't know how hunger pushes you into Christ. Only Hindus get into places through hunger. I've said it to you again and again. How do Christians fast? Christians only take time out to hear the word of God, to focus. You know, when Moses was walking past, he saw the bush burning. He looked. You know the way it is? You wipe your face. Is that bush burning or is not burning? Then you look closer. You come closer. You come closer. Is that bush burning or is not burning? The Bible says, when God saw that he turned aside to look, then the Lord began to speak to him. The bush burnt only to catch his attention. Why do we fast? It's simple. It's so we can turn aside to look. Listen to me. Many of the problems in your life as a believer is bush that is burning, that is supposed to make you turn aside to look. And when you turn aside to look, the revelation of the word of God will come to you. That is what fasting is for a Christian. I like what Ken Hagin said once. He said that anytime he's walking and ministering, he says it's as if he's washing his feet with his socks on. And it's an American way of describing things. And you know, it's like you are having your bath. You need to remove your singlet. And your eyes are closed. You just know that something is out of order. I'm rubbing the soap, but it's not the soap. I'm not feeling it. He said he knew something was out of order. So it took a number of days aside to fast and to pray, so as to understand what is going on. I think about the first day or second day, the Lord just said to him through, I don't know how the Lord said, but they just heard the word of God coming to him, say, I never called you to be a pastor. And then instead of relaxing there further, he got up and said, he didn't call me to be a pastor. It must be that I must be an evangelist. 2 years running up and down. Things just didn't work out. Then one day, the Lord said to him again, why don't you just start teaching? He said, lie. Nobody wants me to teach. If I teach, they will not invite me. If they don't invite me, I'm going to starve. My wife, my children, there will be no food. He said, the others will be nudging him. Why don't you teach? When he gets up, something he will just say, teach. He said, no. If I teach now, they won't call me back. They don't want teachers. They want somebody to, you know, stir up the storm. God is going to bless you today. God is going to bless you today. Something great is going to happen. He said, that's what they want. They don't want all this teaching. After a long time, when the disturbance in his soul wouldn't let him rest, he said, okay, God, let's do something. Today, I will teach. I will prove to you it will not work. And he opened his Bible and began to teach on what he called doubt the thief of God's blessings. He said, I made it as slow as possible. I made it as uninteresting as possible. I tried to make it, you know, very horrible a lesson. You know, this kind of doubt the thief of God's blessings. Open to the book of Psalm chapter 1. He said, at the end of the day, when the number of young men that came to answer the altar call, he was shocked. That is, the way they judge results then, he got 10 times the amount of results that would have made everybody happy. He said, before I couldn't sleep because I was trying not to teach. He said, now I could not teach for sleep for repenting. He said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Why I told that story again, all right? So let you understand what I'm talking about when a Christian fasts. There's not the increasing the potency of his prayer. You conquer the devil in Christ. Are you getting my point? That is all. That is all. That is all. Today I want to talk about receiving the gift of God. But I think that's what I ended up talking about. I didn't get to the main thing I wanted to say, but we still were blessed. I hope so. All right? What I wanted to just explain is this. When God says, this is yours, all you say is what? Amen. Thank you. No more than that. Anything that comes out after that must be a result of that. That is a result of the amen. Thank you. Now I've been saying this again and again. I will not stop saying it. I told you, when God lifts you up to a new realm of truth, if you refuse to depart from the former one, you are looking for trouble. For those who don't understand, the simple reason why the Romans wiped out the Jews after Jesus came, the simple reason why Israel, that the Jews suffered under Hitler, is one simple reason. There are no two reasons. He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. That's all. All this confusion that our brethren preach and say, God has anointed a special group of people to call his own people, and he's coming back to receive them and convert them by force. Others, it's not true. Henceforth, in Christ Jesus, there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Every promise applies to everybody. Once that fellow believes in Christ Jesus, in him, all the promises of God are confirmed. He said they are yes and they are amen in Christ Jesus. When they looked at Jesus and said, you are not the Messiah, we don't know who you are, it's called Ichabod. The glory departed. And listen, the problems began. The church is always trying to rationalize those things away. Tell them the truth. See, you know, the problem is that this world, we are afraid of truth. That is what happened. How do I know? Jesus said it himself. Jesus looked at them and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I loved to have gathered you like a hen gathered her chicks. He said, but you will not have any of it. He said, but now your house is left to you desolate. That's how it is. When they were beating him, he was going to the cross. The women were crying, how can you beat a man, holy man of God, man that never did anything, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and the He turned. I said, why are you crying? I'm beating you now. He said, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. He said, if they can do this to this, how did he say it again? This kind of tree. What would they do? He was talking to about the Roman soldiers. I didn't do anything. I didn't raise any riot against them. What do you think they will do when they come back for you people? They didn't get the point. They were saying, no, no, they're going to, you shouldn't beat you like this. You're a holy man. He said, that's what I'm saying. If they beat a holy man like this, oh, you sinners. Oh, you don't know what the Romans did. I don't want to go by it. You see Hitler, eh? It's the same spirit. The Romans had used Hitler before. Romans. They leveled Jerusalem. You know what they call them? Jesus said that this temple, not one stone will be left on top of another. They said there was a Jesus. The Holy Spirit made them hear a rumor that there was gold buried in the walls of the temple. So the Roman soldiers were looking for the gold, thereby fulfilling the words of Jesus. They removed every stone from on top of another. Why? Because God brought them a level of truth and they refused to walk in it. The one they stayed in, called Mosaic Law, became a curse to them. Please, don't despise truth unless you just don't understand it. When I say don't despise truth, you don't hear it and say, leave that one, I beg. Let me stay with the one that I'm used to. You are commanded to step up to a new level. Why am I saying this? I was going to say something. I'm in Enugu, very common in Eastern Nigeria. Listen to me, listen. A friend of mine told me a story once. He went to a church, all those somersault and die church. He went to the most prominent of them. He followed somebody. My wife remembers the story. So the pastor identified him as a man needing to be somersaulted and died on some matters. So they made an appointment. Said that day, the man spent, was it 6 hours or 3 hours? I can't remember the number of hours. Can you remember? Said they were praying for only him. I said, this pastor must really be jobless. That, I told him, I said, that guy doesn't have work. For you to be praying for 6 hours. I don't know what it was, 3 hours. They were praying. They bound every evil spirit on every kilometer of road between here and Onitsha. They will go to 9th mile in the realm of the spirit. And lock and bind every Ogbanje spirit, every blood-sucking demon, every, what's the name of those demons? Incubus, Succubus, Asmodeus. And they will bind and bind. This went on for hours. He said at the end, he went home and fell sick. And fell sick as if he was going to die. And he was sick for, was it a week or two, he said, that he thought he was going to die. He was so sick. My wife and I, we laughed that day. We said, trouble sleep, young guy will wake up. Waiting in the fine. Balaba. In the fine. Balaba, he go get you. You wake up, go they find demons. When do they find you? Now all of them recruit now. Are going to go down and they provoke. And the Holy Spirit said, don't call me. Don't call me, don't call me. Fight. Even now you won't fight devils. Don't call my name. I told him, I said, oh boy, now do you. Demon where they sleep. Minding his own business. God said, you're above it. He said, no, we must fight it. So God said, no problem. Angels made a move and made the body fight. Nine demons beat, oh my father. They beat, wired this guy badly. He almost died. Last minute, God said, I told you guys not to kill him. And they leave him. Any one of you that goes home for deliverance, that is your portion. That's where I was going. I am happy you kept quiet. You don't go die too. You too, you don't go die. If not deliverance, where you go village, go do. Because of business wahala. How nice is your portion? They will finish you, you will beg for money. Yeah? You go and attack all the Ogbanje spirits after you. After I have told you again and again that there are no Ogbanje spirits after you because you are seated high above in Christ. You say, come low below to be looking for them. Holy Spirit just say, nothing spoil. You want fight? Fight. Angels, move back. But hear ye the word of the Lord, none of you should kill him. Don't break his bones. The evil spirit will say, thank you. They go beat. Oh, you go to say, you'll be sons of Sceva. They will wound you. Why? Because when God lifted you to a new level of truth, you denied it and walked down to the older one. And God said, okay, it aboard. That's what I'm preaching on. But I have problems. Who doesn't have problems? Do I look like I have never had problems? Or I don't have problems currently? There is nobody that has never had problems. God has problems. Jesus has problems. All these preachers who are shouting, T.P. Joshua is a problem to Jesus Christ. You don't realize it. One day, God will answer one prayer. Arise, O Lord, let thy enemies be scattered. You don't know? All these prophets that are opening churches in town, you don't know they have a problem? Everybody has problems. God has problems. Your treasurer is a thief. You have a problem. Jesus had Judas. When your mother doesn't believe in you, you know? You have a problem. And they go drag Mama Mary one day. Say, come, your son is beside himself. She too, she followed them. Stay outside. They told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. Jesus knew what they were up to. He said, who's my mother? Who are my brethren? He said, these people who are hearing the word, tell my mother to go home. So, you know, some people believe that once Mary, Mother Mary talks to Jesus, you must hear. It is not true. It's in the Bible. If she says anything where the guy not agree, if you not jail, say, mommy, go home. Go and wait at home. If your mother doesn't believe in you, it's a problem. You don't know that? When your brother, your family will say it increase, you don't know it's a problem? Yeah, Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. So you have a problem. So what? That is why you are called an overcomer. Overcomers overcome problems. The sign of a man, a woman who's an overcomer is that he has issues. Because if he doesn't have issues, there's nothing to overcome. It's not because you are demon possessed, it's because you will overcome. Please go and listen to that message again. We have overcome. Please stop insulting God and refusing to accept his done deals. Yes, that's the word. This is how God does things. He will say, this is done. We'll continue from that point next time. He said, this is how God is. Like King James, he calls those things that be not as though they were. He doesn't come and discuss with you, like, what do you think? You know, how do we go about it? He says to you simply, and you'll say amen to it. He says, you have been made complete.
Amen.
He says, you have been circumcised.
Amen.
He says, you have been raised up from the dead.
Amen.
You have been made alive together with him.
Amen.
You have been forgiven all your transgressions.
Amen.
He says, all the certificates of decrees and judgments against you, they have been cancelled. He said, the devil has been disarmed in your life.
Amen.
He said, you have triumphed over all the works of the enemy.
Amen.
That's all he said. What you are supposed to say is, amen and thank you. Period. He said, but I'm still feeling sick. He said, but you have been healed in Christ Jesus. What you say is what? Amen and thank you. That's why I called this message Christ, the final truth. I hope you understood something today.
Yes,
I hope you understood something today.
Yes,
let's just bow down our heads and just say, Father, we thank you. Let's just say, Father, we thank you.